make a presentation to update you on CalCCA's 2023 activities and plans for next year. The second is item 6D, which is DCE's annual power content label. And following board approval, we will be filing this document with the California Energy Commission and sending it to all DCE customers as required by the Energy Commission rules. And we are including in the mailing the information in your staff report on 2022 GHG reductions from DCE customers compared with GHG emissions had DCE not been established and these customers had remained with Southern California Edison. Now, DC customers reduced GHG emissions in Palm Springs by 65,701 metric tons last year, and that is the equivalent to removing 14,620 gasoline-powered vehicles from our roads. We've relayed this information to Palm Springs staff for possible inclusion in the State of the City presentation at the Art Museum on October 17th. And finally, as noted in your agenda, the November 20th board meeting will be at the CVAG office at 3 p.m., CVAG office at the corner of 111 and El Paseo Drive in Palm Desert. And that concludes my remarks on behalf of Tom.
All right. Thank you. And I believe we have a guest this afternoon, and I'd like to invite her to come up and speak.
Good afternoon. My name is Megan Pogue, and I'm a director with NextEra's development organization. Should I start again?
No.
Okay. I am here in person to show NextEra's support in getting your approval to move forward with a power purchase agreement for energy storage from our Desert Sands Energy Storage Complex. The project is located in Palm Springs and will provide renewable energy to your constituents. We view these deals very seriously. They are long-term commitments, and I'm very, very pleased in the progress we made with David and Claude and the Desert Community Energy team in negotiating a very strong contract that will allow us to move forward with a productive long-term partnership. Great. So thank you for your support, and we look forward to your consideration on approving this contract.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. If there's any questions, we will bring them, but I want to thank you for coming down and thank NextEra for all the work that's gone into getting us to this stage. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, let's go to the consent calendar. Are there any items that anyone would like to remove from the consent calendar? Then a motion to approve, please.
I'll move for approval.
And I will second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And no opposed. That is approved. We now move on to formally to 7A, which is the DCE midterm reliability procurement with NextEra. And I'd like to ask David to brief us.
Okay. Thank you again, Chair Middleton. And this matter is an energy storage agreement that is part of DCE's midterm reliability procurement that the California Public Utilities Commission ordered in 2021 and then reconfirmed this past February. And last year, the board began the midterm reliability procurement process by approving a demand response agreement with OhmConnect as well as a geothermal project in Utah with Fervo Energy. Now, as Ms. Polka just mentioned, this project is with a subsidiary of NextEra Energy Resources for its Desert Sands project located in North Palm Springs. And energy deliveries are expected to start on April 1st, 2027 and go for 15 years. And the project will be connected to the grid via the energy, the Desert Community Energy Project will be connected to the grid via the Dibber substation at Edison. So project is a full 700 megawatt battery project. And that is for lithium battery storage, 25 megawatts or 200 megawatt hours. And that's 73,000 megawatt hours per year, which is simply 200 times 365.
David, how many Holmeswood that
thank you. And this is did that research. That is enough to power approximately 10,700 Palm Springs households for battery estimate optimization for 10,700 households
over the course of an entire year.
Yes. So we did the calculation. That's with essentially the power optimization. So it's the batteries are they're charged from the grid and then go through the batteries for a discharge of 8 hours per year.
So that is roughly enough power to energize one third of Palm Springs homes for the course of an entire year.
Roughly, yes.
That's an enormous undertaking.
Yes. It's almost exactly one third of our total, roughly 33,000 and so of customers, including commercial, but we've done the number based on households because that was the easiest calculation.
Thank you. Will this help us in those times when power would go out?
It does go through the grid. So that remains the, and that's actually the next slide here and the one after that. So you can see a map of the project location and it's on an existing wind turbine field. So if you kind of squint, you can see little turbines sticking out of the map. And as I mentioned, that is just south of the Devers substation from Edison, as well as the, Sentinel Energy Center, and they're, connected, right to that. And so, phase one is Desert Peak. That is already in operation. And then phase two, that's us. That's Desert Sands. So that's where we will be located, just a little bit right. South of there.
And that's actually within the city limits.
Yes. So the city limits are just to the north. So the Devers Station and Sentinel are just outside the city limits. The city limits is, I think, just sort of right at the northern edge of where it's marked for phase one. Right. And as I mentioned, the Planning Commission had reviewed this project last year and fully approved it.
Okay.
And so here you can actually see this is a site plan, in fact, from the Planning Commission materials. So you can actually see the batteries are kind of in the green within the green areas. They're sort of outlined there. Once again, phase one currently in operation and phase two for us at the lower end. And then here you can see at the north end, you can see in blue the generation tie line going from phase one into or right into the Devers substation. So it does include some access rights from Edison, which owns the land up there into the Devers substation. So that's where the interconnect would mention. And because it does go through the grid through Edison, that's where the challenge is for, you know, for power, you know. Potential public safety power shuttle. So it does reflect through the grid. So the project has a number of very unique characteristics that led to its selection by the procurement team, including Mr. Barrett from the CEC earlier this year. First, it's located largely within the Palm Springs city limits. The section with DCE is essentially within there. And then the northern section is just outside where the connection is to Devers substation. And that's a prime example of how DCE can achieve DCE's objectives of reinvesting revenues locally to support the community and creating jobs and promoting local developments of energy resources close to home. NextEra is an experienced developer with approximately 30,000 megawatts of projects, renewable projects under development, and that includes also several projects already in Riverside County, both solar and storage area. And the project will be built using a project labor agreement with approximately 100 construction jobs to be created for Desert Sands, 200 already created for the Desert Peak section in operation. And there are roughly 2 to 3 permanent jobs at Desert Sands and roughly 4 to 5 permanent jobs also at Desert Peak. As I mentioned, the interconnection is at the Devers substation just north of the project site. And importantly for DCE, it does reduce price volatility in our power portfolio. That's something, of course, has been our long-term objective of having agreements such as this for 15 years that will give us that level of price stability. And that it helps DCE meet its midterm reliability requirements from the California Public Utility Commission, as well as our resource adequacy requirements. So it checks several boxes, importantly with the CPUC. And so with those characteristics in mind, staff recommends that the board approves, adopts resolution number 202305, approving a 15-year energy storage agreement with Desert Sands Energy Storage 2 LLC, and authorize the executive director and or legal counsel to make minor modifications before execution of the agreement. That concludes my staff report, and I'm available for any further questions. And then Ms. Polk is available, and also Jacqueline Haar of the Energy Authority is on standby for any specific procurement questions.
I just had a couple of clarification questions. Mm-hmm. Who makes up the Community Advisory Committee?
That was essentially DC staff. So Emily was involved, Emily Langenben, our program consultant, Claude was involved as well, myself. Don Barrett, representing the Community Advisory Committee, and our procurement team at the Energy Authority, including Jacqueline Haar. So Jacqueline Haar and her colleagues were providing all of the technical advice.
And then the only other question I had is, given the number of jobs that this will produce, does DCE have a local preference?
We do, actually. That was adopted last year at the July 2022 board meeting. So we have a procurement policy, and I copied and pasted, working closely with Claude on that. Both Palm Desert and Palm Springs have local preferences. Conveniently enough, they were almost exactly the same text. So I borrowed, and will give you credit to both of your cities, to having very good examples. Those were largely copied and pasted and adopted into the official DCE procurement policy.
Thank you.
That was it. Ms. Polk, a couple of questions. And again, thank you. This is one of the best days we've had since we've started DCE. How does the project of this size compare with other projects that you've done across the country?
NextEra does projects of all sizes. In California, recently, we do build larger projects for what we call our grid scale team. So as David mentioned, this project will interconnect to Southern California Edison's Devers 220 kilovolt substation. Mm-hmm. We consider that in front of the meter project, that's directly grid connected, and you do get some benefit for building larger scale projects. It's something that NextEra is very comfortable and familiar doing. We do also have another team within our organization that builds smaller projects, so mm-hmm. we can adapt the project size to the needs of our customers. Mm-hmm.
About how many projects do you have underway at this, either in operation or underway in California and across the country?
I'm glad David had the recent quote. We have approximately 30,000 megawatts in our backlog. That means projects that are already operational and projects that are contracted and under construction, working towards being operational. I do have a California fact sheet that shows the projects we have in California. And in order to avoid an error on my part, I'm going to look at the fact sheet and I'll pull that up and I can send it to you.
I would love to have it. Thank you. So, in terms of hiring, when will construction begin and people start to be employed?
I believe our construction start date is approximately 2 years to a year and a half prior to the actual commercial operation date of the project. Mm-hmm. And we would likely work through our EPC, that stands for Engineering Procurement and Construction Crew, okay. who we hire to manage the on-site construction. So they're on the ground day to day and they're responsible for hiring local labor.
Right. And the April 21 or 2027, start date for this to be operational. Is there anything that we could do here in Palm Springs that would allow that date to be accelerated?
I appreciate the offer. If there is, we will take you up on it. One of the big challenges in interconnecting to the California ISO's grid is the requirement to complete network upgrades. Mm-hmm. And that is a requirement to ensure the reliability and resiliency of the grid, sure, to make sure that when our project interconnects, it doesn't have any adverse impacts on existing transmission and infrastructure. Those upgrades, as you can imagine, need to be done in conjunction with the investor-owned utility on the transmission side of the house, and they can take a number of years. So the April 2027 date is the earliest we have contemplated right now based on those network upgrade timelines. If there is an ability to expedite those, we certainly will look for those opportunities.
There is anything you need from the City of Palm Springs, ask.
Thank you, Chair Middleton. We appreciate that.
We will move forward. So thank you. And David, I think there's supposed to be in late October a event for the signing.
Yes, we're tentatively expecting that is Friday, October 20th from 1 to 3 p.m. We're working with Meg and her team because the Desert Peak section is already operated. Desert Sands is literally Desert Sands. You can't maybe get a better project name for that one. That is literally Desert Sands. However, Desert Peak, as I mentioned, is already in operation. So we'll coordinate with Ms. Pogue and her team to have an event out there. Now, following board authorization, assuming you vote in favor of that, we'll direct Tom Kirk to move forward with the signature. So we'll have, you know, we'll have an event that won't be officially the signing, but we'll have an event, you know, we'll come up with something for folks to sign and some photos and things like
Wonderful.
That.
Wonderful. I am looking forward to that day.
Yeah.
Anything else? Well, again, thank you. Thanks to your team. And we look forward to being in partnership with NextEra for many, many years to come.
Likewise, thank you for the consideration. I'm very happy to be here on behalf of NextEra.
Is there a motion?
I will move for approval.
I will second that. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is item 7B, our investment policy, and Mr. Kilgore.
Thank you, Chair Middleton. Hi, Vice Chair Thomas. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you. So more good news today. Thank you, David. I get a clicker and the button. Alrighty. So the investment policy, DCE, actually I want to say on Friday, it's going to be the end of the first quarter of DCE's fourth full fiscal year of operations. So, you know, we've really been cash flow positive since March, the entity has, I should say. And, you know, the past few months, we've had about $15 million of cash on hand on average. So, you know, that's not an easy feat. And that seems like a long time, but it's really not. And here we are. So that's really great. So we need a policy for those funds. And that's why I'm sitting here asking for that approval. And if we're going to talk about investing funds, we just want to briefly touch on the financial reserve policy. I know Vice Chair Chavez, we saw that in June. So just want to high level, as a percent of operating costs, we have some target thresholds for our reserves, right? So if we look at 30% of power and non-power operating costs, that's the minimal target level, and it goes all the way up to 75% of a year's worth of cost, basically, as the maximum. And let's just jump into what that means numerically for us. This is DCE's budget, and you'll see the total power and operating costs budgeted for this fiscal year, $51.2 million. So let's just lay that out on the table we just saw. So the 30% is about $15 million. The sixth year timing trigger is about $25 million. And then the maximum reserve policy we have currently is about $38 million. And I'm telling you all this because we have a little good news. DC gets that gold star sticker because we have met the minimum reserve target. And we're actually moving ahead. And it looks like we're going to hit that sixth year target. Remember, in the fourth year, we're going to hit that a little early. Now, things are... yet to be determined fully on the out years, right? Things are changing, and the energy authority or the consultants who give us the financial model, and they're tracking that daily and we're reviewing that. So we don't know exactly when we're going to reach the maximum and, you know, what the out years are going to look like and if that's going to eat into some of those reserves. So we got to remember those reserves are like our rainy day fund, right? We don't get a lot of rain here, but look, when it rains, it pours. We know that. So we want that to be on track, as well as these power purchase agreements. The buyer market for those, we're a buyer in that, right? That's a tight market. So those reserves are going to help us to negotiate more deals and eventually move towards an investment grade, a credit rating, which is, you know, highly priced target of ours. And then once we get that maximum, it allows the board to do more strategic things, right? Maybe you're making your own generation station in the city, things like that. So real quick, how did we get this investment policy? Basically, I'll just say what Dave did. I copied the city of Palm Springs and the city of Palm Desert. Not really. We started with the state treasurer, which I know Vice Chair Chavez, you start there too. And I love this emblem. Just want to point out the female I noticed up there guarding that gold coming out of the safe. And I noticed we have an all female board and lots of females around. So I just want to shout out to strong females. And also they issue this local agency investment guidelines. They have a lot of subsections that say which kind of instruments we can invest in. And we made sure that we checked all those boxes. So we're good there. And as I mentioned, we use examples. I typically look at the Clean Power Alliance. Look, they have eyes from all these councils on those documents going through their boards and committees. So that's always a good start. And we definitely review the city of Palm Springs to make sure it was in line with the investments, as well as the city of Palm Desert. And I used almost the table explicitly from your policy, which was updated not too long ago. They won't be updated shortly. So the 5 years is coming. So with that, I just, I want to ask you to approve the investment policy. Doesn't mean we're going to be making any major changes right away to how we structure the finances, but it gives us the opportunity at the right time.
Questions?
Yes, the 30%, can you remind me in operational costs, how much in time does that cover?
Right. Oh, I forgot this. I wanted to tell you that. So I had to do that math a couple times in my head. The 30% is the hard one. That's about 100 days, you could say. So a little over 3 months. The 50% is pretty easy because that's 180 days or 6 months. And then the maximum 75% is 9 months. So okay. It's about a little over 100 days.
So there's no time of year where it's heavier? Or...
There is. Okay. But on average, it looks like we're sustaining that. That was an average.
Okay.
So this is our largest bill. We just paid $7 million on September 15th to energy procurement. Obviously, we just got through the summer. That'll be our highest. Okay. Energy procurement bill this year.
And the only question I had on the policy was solid, and now I know why. The only question I had, I noticed that the Riverside County pool wasn't included. I don't know if that's something that DC is eligible for.
Yes, I really thought it was in there.
I didn't see it. Maybe I skipped it.
We didn't name it by, I think we called it
Is local. It the local agency one? Is that one?
Yes, okay. The local agency. Would include other counties, I guess we might be, we'd want to keep it Riverside.
Okay.
Yes.
Then I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you. This looks very positive, and I have no concerns at this point.
Let me know if you develop it.
Okay.
I will move for approval.
And I will second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the ayes have it. We move on now to item 7C, which is the DCE financial outlook. And Jacqueline.
He's joining us. She's coming in by Zoom. It's just taking a minute. Okay. While we are waiting for Jacqueline, your last item, something staff has started to talk about, as Claude mentioned, your feedback in the last couple of meetings has certainly been appreciated and was part of the reason we worked so diligently to get it. Make sure it came to you at this meeting.
All right. Hello, everyone. I believe you can see me and hear me. CVAG staff, were you? I can see that looks like the presentation is being shared behind. There we go. All right. Thank you, Kevin. So today I'm here to give you your quarterly DC financial outlook, following from the one we gave last quarter. So key takeaways. The first is that overall forward energy prices for actual energy to be delivered to DC's customers have decreased for 2023 and for 2024. This is welcome news, since I think the last 8 or 9 times I've been in front of this board, I've been speaking about forward energy prices increasing. So for 2023, DCE is fully hedged, which means we've already done full procurement for 2023 to lock in DCE's energy purchases. This is to avoid risk of energy prices spiking, which is much more common we've seen in this market than energy prices decreasing. So there is a minimal effect of this forward energy price decrease for DC's 2023 finances. However, we're still in the process of doing. Mm-hmm.
Is that 2023 fiscal year or calendar year?
Sure. It's all calendar year in this presentation, because that's the process by which energy procurement happens. It's done on a calendar year basis. And that's just how the products are traded in the market. Excellent question. And then, so to return to 2024, we are 70% hedged for the calendar year. And we will continue to take small bites of that apple to get DC fully hedged as we move through the year.
Jacqueline, at what point do you think we will be 100% hedged for 2024?
We would be looking to be, so it's dependent on the time of the year. So we always look to be fully hedged before you enter an operating month. So, you know, at this point in September, we would expect to be 100% hedged for October, which we are in fact. Beyond that, there is some discretion that we use. So we're always looking to get you 100% hedged before the operating month begins, but we look at the fundamentals that are impacting the market. So for example, this forward energy price decrease that has occurred for the remainder of 23 and 24 is being partially driven by news that reduced the natural gas price for California. And so we knew that that news would come. And so we consider that in our hedging decision before, you know, locking in 2024 prices. We're like, let's wait for this news to arrive and for the market to fully absorb it, because we would expect pricing to decrease. So we aren't trying to exactly beat the market or time the market, but just be intelligent actors in terms of how we expect the market to react. That being said, you know, the one thing that we take very seriously is being sure that DCE is 100% hedged for the summer months, because that's when peaky prices are happen the most and we have most volatile prices. So that's an area that we would look to get fully finished for all of Q3 of 24 by spring of 24. So the resulting current net revenue for 2023, based on our projections, is a total of $19.2 million. This is a slight decrease from what I showed at our last presentation. The primary driver of this net revenue forecast is that there's been mild conditions for the California grid over the summer period. So that means no high price spikes, which has been good from the cost side. It also means that DCE's loads came in lower than forecasted over the summer period in particular. And lower loads is great for your customers, but also means lower revenues for the DCE program. We'll get into that more in a little bit more detail in the next slides. And then some negative news is that the 2024 net revenue forecast is currently in the negative at $6.3 million. And this is being primarily driven by a changing expectation of SCE rates. And since DCE's rates are based off of SCE rates, an expected decrease in DCE rates generation rates and actually an expected increase in the PCIA rate means that DCE rates and therefore revenues will be adversely impacted by this. And we'll get into the details of why that is in a couple more slides. The other item is that while forward energy prices have generally decreased for 24, there has been upward pressure on 2024 renewable and RA products. So renewable going to meet your renewable compliance requirements as well as your carbon-free need for your carbon-free customers. And then RA products are capacity product that all load serving entities need to procure in order to meet compliance requirements. And the prices for these products has been going up significantly for 24. So moving into the financial outlook graphically, you can see that revenues are shown back in May. We were expecting around $70 million. And for 2023 and slightly lower for 2024 due to the decrease in rates. And then this shows costs in May and what we were expecting costs for 24 to be back in May. And then we look at the latest projections. You can see that revenues down for 23. That is primarily due to a decrease in loads for DCE. And then for 24, the primary driver is the decrease in rates and therefore in revenues. However, for 2023, while your loads have come in lower than normal, decreasing your revenues, that's also meant that your costs have come in lower than normal. So there's been a decrease in the expected costs as well for 2023 at this point. And then for 2024, while forward energy prices are down, that's being offset by the increase in the renewable and carbon-free products, as well as the RA product, so leading to a slight increase in the expected rates or expected costs for 2024. And then pulling that all together, that gets us to our projections of just a little lower than we were previously expecting back in May. A little less than $1 million less in total net revenues for 2023. And then a bigger shift in 2024 in terms of expected total net negative revenues and $8.8 million less than we were expecting back in May. Leading to final net revenues of $19.2 million again, for this calendar year, and then negative net revenues of $6.3 million in 2024. And so this speaks very well to Claude's comment that, you know, the revenues, net revenues that are put away on a positive year, such as calendar year 23, are great as a rainy day fund for those years where revenues come in less due to changing rates. And so speaking to rates, I'm just going to show you the rate forecast for SCE. And DCE's rates, of course, are based off of SCE. So the dashed line shows the SCE generation rate that we were expecting back in May. And then the solid line is the current rate. And so there has been some rate adjustments in 23. There is actually expected to be another small increase in rates in October from SCE, and staff is reviewing that rate adjustment to see if DCE rates should adjust in step with the SCE rates. However, you know, the primary focus here, I think, would be for 2024. And in that case, SCE generation rates are expected to come down. And that's due in part due to the lower expected energy costs for 24, leading SCE to decrease its rates. If we look at the PCIA, back, you know, we're in a very nice situation overall where the PCIA has been negative for 2023, which means that the legacy assets that are in SCE's portfolio that DCE customers are still paying for as part of departed load that left SCE but still needs to pay its fair share for those legacy assets. Those assets have been earning more money than it costs to keep them up, despite being older technologies and generally less cost effective than newer technologies. They've been earning more in the market because we have seen those elevated prices. However, now that we've had the shift of forward energy prices going down in 24, it's expected that those legacy assets will no longer have revenues from the market that are higher than costs. Instead, costs will be higher than revenues, which means that DCE customers as departed load need to pay their fair share of those costs. And so we expect the PCIA charge to go from negative to a slight positive. And so in general, when the generation rate goes down, that means less revenues for DCE. And when the PCA rate goes up, that means less revenues for DCE. And we see both of those happening in the forecast for 24. I would note that, final rates have not yet been published. This is just based on different modeling that Energy Division and that TEA staff and DCE staff have done. We would expect final rates to a good look at the rates to be published in October with a SCE rate update and then rates finalized in late November or December. And so based on that, that will be the final determination of what rates will look like for SCE in 2024. Any questions?
Very good.
All right. And then one last slide for you all. Just on the price forecast, basically what we have here is the dashed lines are what I was showing in May. Then the solid lines are the current price forecast. Looks like they unfortunately aren't graphing together at the same time. Apologies for that animation error. But, if you could see them at the same time, essentially the dashed lines, both for peak periods and off-peak periods, were higher back in May. Now they've come down for the forecast now that we are in September and have those updated expectations. So that's overall positive news moving forward in time. And that is the end of my slides.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
And Jacqueline, right, thank you. With that, next items are information items. Are there any public comments on non-agenda items? Seeing none, the next meeting will be in November 2023 at 3 p.m. and that will be at the CVAG office at 74199 El Paseo Drive at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And thank you all, and we are adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.